Come on, stand to your feet and give them a big welcome. Good morning. Morning, church. Good to see you today. Why don't you take your seats? Well, I want to welcome you if you're in the room or you're online today in our online church family. It's amazing to have you with us today. If you're in the room, can I encourage you to make some noise? I know it's a little bit more spacious than we're generally used to, but don't be nervous about that. So you can make some noise as we go through this journey of the conversation that we want to have today. Just to give you a little bit of an update, during the week we've had some craziness happen in our community, and some people have become quite alarmed and concerned about the craziness that's developed with COVID-19, with our tourists from Queensland that went to Melbourne and brought back infection. They brought that back to Queensland and to our area, and a few people have been affected at this point in time. Can I just say this, that as a church community, we're operating on the directives of Queensland Health at all times in terms of what we do and how we engage and how we behave and our protocols and our preparation of our facilities for people, and trying to do this as safely and as wisely as we possibly can. Let's not beat up the situation in terms of talking it up in a negative way. Let's take the fear out of the facts because there's not a great deal of fact to the fear at all, to be honest with you, and let's navigate this journey with a real spirit of faith. Can I get someone to say amen to that this morning? Come on, let's take the journey with the spirit of faith. So what that means for our church community, we have cancelled our 11 a.m. service. We only had a few people that had registered for that. Obviously, we've had a number that have cancelled on the 9 a.m. service. So from here in, we're operating one service, 9 a.m., and so you need to book in for that service as quickly as possible to get a seat in the house. If you can't get a seat in the house, then you'll be part of the church online community for that day. So make sure you do your bookings as quickly as possible. I want to talk today about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I want to go on a journey of conversations over a number of weeks about this thought, and to help bring some clarity, particularly in this season that we find ourselves in. Our vision as a church is very simple, has three core components to it. It's to reach people, make disciples, and build church. Reach people, make disciples, and build church. And you can't build church without reaching people. If you don't reach people, you don't build church. And then secondly, if you don't make disciples, you don't build church also. So we framed our words very carefully. Reach people, make disciples, and build church. Now in this season that we find ourselves in right now, it's really challenging to stay focused on doing this right now, on building church, on making disciples, and on reaching people. Because all of the messages that we're getting from our leadership and our governance is about self-protection at the moment, and physical isolation and distancing. And it's very hard for us to stay focused on the core components of what our vision is as a church, and to live out our calling and the cause of Jesus in this apparent new normal. Our community is really nervous at the moment with what's going on. They're nervous about connecting. They're nervous about engaging and building community. And so that forces organizations like the church to really rethink and reset and realign how we do our vision, how we be the church. And I've never known a more complicated time to be the church, to be honest with you. In my leadership, I've never known a more challenging time for us to find ways to reach people, for us to find creative ways to make disciples and to ultimately build the church. So it's really challenging, like it is for any other business. This is a challenging moment, like it is for any other family or individual, for the church as an organization. This is a challenging time for us to find our feet. And so I want to speak into this season for a few weeks about us being who God has called us to be, about being a disciple. Everyone say disciple. Say it with some conviction this morning, like there's 3,000 people in the room. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Disciple. It's challenging for us to be the disciples we want to be in this new season. As I said, the new normal, it's probably the most challenging season I've given leadership to in terms of church life, in terms of helping people. Just looking after people at the moment is really complicated because we don't know where everybody is. Like people are online today. We've got a large sector of our church community that are physically online watching church today. And in my mind, let me tell you how this plays out in my mind. In my mind, when you're online and you're doing church online, I see you sitting in the lounge room, your children around you. I see you dressed. Dressed well. I see you watching church on the TV, and when our team is singing, I see you standing and lifting your hands, and when the pastor's preaching, it's amen, it's amen, it's amen. I see you leaning in, but in reality, I'm told it's a different story. In reality, I'm told that people are kicking back in their recliners, they've got their moccasins on, someone's in the kitchen cooking toast and cooking breakfast, and someone's reading the paper while they're listening to the worship, and all kinds. Some people are setting the TV on, then they're going out in the backyard and doing the gardening, and I don't know if anyone's actually there. Hello? Hello? Speak to me. And I just don't know. And I don't like not knowing. Anyone else not like not knowing? I don't like not knowing how we're engaging as a church, because it's part of my role. The Bible says, know the condition of your flock. And it's never been harder for me to know the condition of the flock. It's never been more exhausting ringing people up and helping people to stay engaged and connected and empowering people and growing people. I've never known a more difficult moment to try and disciple people, to be honest with you, to even host a church service. Everything is a real challenge at the moment. We have twice as much work to do and half as many hands to do it. We have about, I think, just under a half that have returned to like our service teams. And so the people that are doing it and making church happen at the moment are really exhausted. Is this sermon making you feel good today? They're really tired. They're really tired. And so I want to speak into this space to help all of us, because we're called to be disciple. Everyone say once again, nice and loud for me, disciple. We're called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, with everything I've said, with all of that in mind, what I really want to do is I want to help us to remember who we are. Who we are. I want to help us to remember what we're called to do and how we're called to live, whether we're in a pandemic or whether we're not in a pandemic, that there's a person that we are, there's a calling that we have, and there's a pattern, as Renee said, that we are called to live by regardless. We're called to live this way. And one of the things that I personally find quite challenging for leading the church at the moment is the lack of accountability there is in a season like this. Because there's a whole lot more reasons now why people can't be in the room or can't be in a connect group or can't be at this or can't be at that. There's a lot more reasons and for some even excuses as to why they can't be. I find that challenging, and so we're in a new season and a new space, and we need to give some voice and some language into this new normal to build accountabilities into it. So here's my sermon. I need your help. I need your help today. Our pastors need your help. My team, we need your help today. This is what I need you to do. I need you to give leadership to your own faith right now, more than ever before. I need you to give leadership to your own faith right now, more than ever before. This is a testing time, and this testing time reveals the leadership that people give to their own faith. It really does. Whether people see themselves as a church attender or a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there's a big difference between being a church attender and a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a massive gulf between those two. So I need us as a church to lean in right now. To lean in right now. And I need you to help your pastor. Everyone say, help your pastor. Come on, help your pastor. Help your pastor. Help your pastors. Help your pastoral team and your leadership team. This is what I need you to do. If you're online and you're part of our online church today, I need you to let us know you're there. I'm looking right down the camera. I need you to let us know you're there today. I need you to make yourself accountable and let us know that you're doing okay. That you're doing okay. that you're still around. I need you to be engaging with your friends in church, online, and having conversations and building community and establishing connection. I need us to do all of those things. As a church and as a church team, we're trying to be as innovative as we can and do what we can do to help the discipleship process for every one of us. With our connect groups, we're experimenting with some things. We don't have the model 100% correct yet. It's just still experimentation. And so we're just saying to people, can you just be patient? Can you just be patient and understanding at the moment? It's kind of like the national government are experimenting with some things. The Victorian government's experimenting with some things. And the Queensland government are experimenting with some things. We're all in that word that everyone's sick of, unprecedented. Everyone say unprecedented. Unprecedented times. None of us have been here before. We don't know the way, but we have a God that does. And so we're just trying to navigate the journey as best as we possibly can. So be patient with us as we help build new and innovative ways to be the disciples that God has called us to. I woke up with this verse on my mind the other day. It's an unusual verse. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this. It says, Paul. This is the start of Paul's writing to the church in Rome. And he introduces himself by just saying, Paul. Paul. It's not often you walk up to someone and go, Tony, to introduce yourself, is it? It's not often you do that, unless your name is Tony, of course. But for me, it's not often I just walk up and go, Tony. It's a fairly confident presentation of self, isn't it? Just to walk up and go, Paul, and start with your name. Rather than, hi, how you going? My name's Paul. No, Paul. Everyone go, Paul? Paul. You know the thing I love about Paul? Paul knew who he was. There's a sense of confidence about this man. I love the bravado. I love the posture of what Paul presents as he starts to write this very strong book. It's a very dominant book in the New Testament and the whole Word of God, for that matter. And no surprise that it starts with such a strong greeting, Paul. And then he says, a slave of Jesus Christ. A slave of Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle. It just gets better and better. So Paul, slave of Jesus Christ. I kind of get the image of Gladiator. What's his name? Maximus or whatever. And that Gladiator type image and spirit on Paul. But Paul introduces himself as Paul, slave of Jesus Christ. Called. Everyone say called? Called. Called Paul. Called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love the way Paul introduces this himself, slave of Jesus. In other words, I'm owned and I'm totally devoted to one person, Jesus Christ, my God. I'm separated to the gospel. I'm fully devoted to living out this gospel and calling that I have. And the cause of Jesus Christ. What I really like was this, is Paul knew who he was. He knew whose he was. And he knew what he was called to do. Do you know who you are? Turn to your neighbor and say, who are you? Who are, if you're online today, who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Do you know whose you are? And do you know what you're called to do? Because until you know whose you are and who you are, you don't know what to do. A lot of people are clueless because they don't know whose they are and they don't know who they are. So when Paul writes to the Roman church, he goes, Paul, slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you separated for? What are you separated for? What are you called to do? Who even are you? Who are you? Do you know who you are? We're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, the truth is, if we don't know who we are, whose we are, we will never know what we are, and we'll never know what we are called to do. We are all called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I love the record of the book of Acts when the early church first was established and started to explode and grow very, very quickly. It says this is of the church as they gathered. It says they, that's the people of the church, the new believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I think this verse encapsulates one of the great keys of the success of the early church, in that they devoted themselves. There was a high level of self-devotion in the people. In everybody, there was a high level of devotion. And we're told what they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the teaching of God's word, the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowshipping with each other. They devoted themselves to remembering Jesus and sharing communion. And they devoted themselves to seeking the person and the presence of God with a real spirit of prayer. Self-devotion is a real key to being a disciple. It's a real key. Disciples are devoted. Disciples are devoted people. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's another example of self-devotion. When there was a moment in time when there was this terrible famine that was taking place throughout all of Jerusalem and Judea, and a lot of people didn't have food to eat, including the church. And so Paul takes up an offering throughout the churches of the region. And in Corinth, it's recorded that this is the response of the Macedonians. It says this: they even did more than we had hoped for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to. So here Paul says they first gave themselves. Before they gave their offering, they gave themselves. They really surprised us. He says they gave themselves to the Lord first, and then they gave themselves to us as the leaders of the church. In other words, Paul says that they had a real high level of consecration, which resulted in a high level of commitment. You know, commitment issues are always consecration issues. Commitment issues are always consecration issues when it comes to our relationship and our walk and our faith journey with God. Now, this thought of giving ourselves and giving in general, our contribution, our serving, our whatever, in our lean-in, it's one of the most important and the greatest principles of all faith principles that I know. It's the best way to accelerate your faith, your devotion, your church journey, and your faith experience is to lean in and to be totally committed in how we do the journey together. In the Message Bible, in verses 5 to 7, it says, Paul says, this was totally spontaneous, this giving that they gave, entirely of their own idea. They caught us completely off guard. He says, what explains it was that they first had given themselves unreservedly to God and then to us. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. There's a principle here I want to highlight for us, and it's this. If we give ourselves fully to God and to what God is building, then the grace of contribution, be it financial, be it service, be it commitment, the grace of our contribution is evident and it flows naturally. There's some things that flow naturally. Renee referenced before, when you get the pattern right, the flow is natural in terms of giving. Here Paul is saying the same thing. They devoted themselves to God. They devoted themselves to us. And because of that, their service and their commitment and their contribution, it just flowed naturally. One of the things that I'm really working diligently to do right now for our church is to remodel the way that we do our discipleship, to remodel it, because we need to reset it so we have a very clear strategy that works in person and online for both communities that we're developing and building. Because this is real church and that is real church. And whether you're in the room or whether you're online with our online church family today, you know, the expectation of following God is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. There's not a new layer or level of discipleship, whether it's in person or whether it's online. There's the same level of relationship and commitment that's required by God. So I'm trying to develop a really clear pathway that we can disciple people in both formats, in both platforms, to help us stay focused and on point with being disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, when you're a disciple, you don't need to be followed up. Yeah. When you're a disciple, you don't need to be called up. When you're a disciple, you're calling. When you're a disciple, you're following. When you're a disciple, you make yourself accountable, is what you do when you're a disciple. Part of the exhaustion that that church leaders are feeling right now is the necessity to call up those that want to those that are not in the room, calling them up and following them up. And some of them don't want to be followed up, and they don't want to be called up, and they really need to be called to accountability for discipleship. Jesus called people for accountability for discipleship. Absolutely he did. He said, if you want to follow me, you need to die to yourself. If anyone wants to follow me, you need to take up my cross and follow me and lay down your cross and take on my cause, is what Jesus said. Jesus held high expectation for the people that would follow him. And some of them left him. In actual fact, many of them left him. And those that didn't leave him, he turned to them and said, do you want to leave me too? Do you want to leave me too? And so, never be afraid of a high calling for discipleship. In actual fact, I think we sell the church out when we lower the bar. I think we do. I think we lower the bar. We sell out faith. We sell out the kingdom of God. We sell out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him die to himself and take up his cross and let him follow me. And so discipleship is the calling that is on every one of our lives. So I want to make some comments about what discipleship is. Firstly, discipleship is a call to follow Jesus. It's a call to follow Jesus. Now, here's a thought. Is it possible to believe in Jesus and still not follow him? It is. It's possible to believe in Jesus and still not follow him. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they're not really followers of Jesus. It's possible to be a good church member and still not follow Jesus and his word and his ways. Following means I believe in him and I follow his commands and I obey his word. Jesus said, if you love me, you follow my ways. If you love me, you follow my commands. It means imitating his character, taking on his commands and living them and surrendering our lives to his will. Now, Jesus, we know when he was on earth, he gave invitations for people to follow him. Invitations for people to follow him. And when he invited them to follow him, it literally meant follow. It literally meant come with me. Leave what you're doing right now and come with me. Come and walk with me. Come and talk with me. Come and eat with me. Come and sit with me. Come and dine with. Just come and be with me. That was the invitation. And we saw person after person after person in the Bible. Business people would leave their business and follow Jesus. Notorious sinners, tax collectors, and publicans would leave their businesses and follow Jesus. Prostitutes would leave their business and follow Jesus. There was no one that was not touched in terms of following Jesus. And they would leave what they had and they would follow him and devote their lives to him. Now, Jesus said this, and he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. And so following Jesus is a real call to follow him so that we can reach other people. And so discipleship is this. Discipleship, where are my scriptures here? Discipleship is following Jesus so that we can reach people. So following Jesus, note this, it doesn't mean you cut everyone off that used to be your friend or everyone that's non-religious or everyone that is far from God that is around your circle. It doesn't mean that. Following Jesus actually means the more you follow him, the more you are reaching out to the people around your world, the people that are still far from God. Let's have a look at this little journey through the scriptures in the book of Matthew where Jesus called some people to follow him and they followed. And let's just see what they did. It says this in Matthew 4. It says, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew. Matthew was sitting at his tax collector's booth and he heard this, follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. And so Matthew got up following him. Notice it's the same calling we have. It's the same invitation we have. What was Matthew's response? He got up and he literally followed Jesus. Later, Matthew invited Jesus to and his disciples to his home as dinner guest, along with all of his friends, many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees or the church leaders, the religious leaders saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with, listen to these words, Bible words, not mine, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Everyone say such scum? Such scum. This was the view that the religious leaders of the day had about ordinary people. They didn't think that they were welcome to the table with Jesus. And it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. We want all the sick people right now to go to the doctor, don't we? We want all the sick people out of the room. We want them all isolated because sick people need a doctor. Healthy people don't need a doctor, is what Jesus is saying. And then he added this. Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I don't care about your sacrifices. I want to see mercy. For I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. So here we see Matthew following Jesus, accepting the invitation to follow Jesus. Throws a party, invites all of his friends around. Invites all of his friends that are the best sinners that he could possibly think of. Get them, let's invite Jesus, let's get his little crew of disciples along, and let's have a party together. Wouldn't it have been an interesting place to be at that table with Jesus, with Matthew, with the notorious sinners, with the scum, so-called by the Pharisees, and the Pharisees. Everybody's at this table. This is what it is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means that you live a life where you reach people. Where you reach people. Where you invite other people to the call that God has given you. You know, the truth is we all have friends that are close to us but are far from God. We all have friends like that. That are close to us that are far from God. And our goal is to bring those that are far from God close to Him. That's our goal. Our goal. You know, the Pharisees of the day, they wanted to keep their so-called God thing to themselves because they didn't consider it for the average person. It was only for the righteous. It was only for the churchgoers. It wasn't for those that are far from God. But Jesus came for those that were far from God to bring them close to God. That's why he came. And you know, Jesus was actually very comfortable around people that were far from him. And people that were far from God were also very comfortable around Jesus. And I ask myself this question about the church and about me and about Christians and about believers and about disciples in this modern day era. How comfortable are people that are far from God around us? Do we make them uncomfortable by our self-righteousness? Or do we make them comfortable to be around godly people? Because we don't judge them, we invite them. There's a big difference between being invited and being judged. And when those that are invited feel judged, they don't come. They need to feel welcome, included, and not excluded. So here's my encouragement. Let's stay engaged to those that are far from God in a healthy way. In a healthy way. In a healthy way, let's be light in a world of darkness. That's what Jesus asked us to do. There's another man in the Bible. His name is Andrew. And Andrew's journey is a similar journey to Matthew's. It says this. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John's witness and followed Jesus. The first thing. Everyone say the first thing? The first thing, not the second thing, the first thing. The first thing he did after finding where Jesus lived was to find his own brother Simon, telling him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he immediately led his brother to Jesus. Immediately. The first thing he did was find his brother and take him to Jesus also. And it says, Jesus took one look up and said this, you're John's son, Simon. From now on, your name will be called Cephas or Peter, which means rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and when he got there, he ran across Philip and said, Philip, come and follow me. Same invitation, come and follow me. And it says, Philip's hometown was Bethsaida, the same as Andrew's and Peter. And Philip went and found, notice this is the first thing Philip did, Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, the one who was preached by the prophets. It's Jesus, Joseph's son, the one who is from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, Nazareth? You've got to be kidding. But Philip said, come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. You know, notice the pattern here. The pattern is this. The pattern is, follow me, then reach people. You know, when you're a follower of Jesus, you're a reacher of people. When you're a follower of Jesus, thank you for that loud acclamation. You're a reacher of people. Anyone else in the room besides Renee believe that? When you're a follower of Jesus, you naturally reach people. You want others around your world to come close to God and have a relationship with God. In regards to the church, God's call and mandate on the church today is for the church to be a place for unchurched people. For the church to be a place for unchurched people, whether it's in the room or whether it's online, where people that are far from God can come close to God. And they're welcome at the table, and they're not judged. They're not judged, but they're given space and room to seek and to search and to look for answers. The church is called to be a church for the de-churched, for the unchurched, for the not yet churched. God wants those far from Him to come close to Him, because if those that are far from us, if people are far from us, here church, listen to this, if people are far from us, guess who they're far from? They're far from God. If they're far from us, they're far from God, because God uses us to bring people from far, far away close to Him. Close to Him. So church is not just for those that love church. Church is not just for those that love church, not just for those that love God and know God and want God. Church is for those that are still looking. Church for those, is for those that have given up looking. Church is for those that are hurting. Church is for those that are broken, have not yet found truth, grace or forgiveness. Church is for all people. And we need to be a church that is for the church and the unchurched. For both the church and the unchurched. You know, Jesus just loved hanging around people that were far from God. He'd go to their parties, he'd tell them stories, he'd get them laughing, he'd hit them with a little bit of truth, he'd bring challenge, he'd drop his business card, he'd flip it and you know, come follow me. He'd invite all sorts of people. He didn't prejudice anyone. He just threw the invitation out, come and follow me. If you're not doing anything with the rest of your life, come and follow me. It's like, seriously, when you looked at how Jesus engaged with people, there was something really supernatural, because he was supernatural, on him, because he just threw out invitations like Lloydie, come and follow me. And Lloydie just give up whatever he's doing and go and follow. That's it. Lloyd's life from that moment on has changed forever. And the Lloyd that we used to know is no longer that Lloyd. He's a totally new Lloyd now, because he's a follower of Jesus now, and he's in that crazy crowd, and he's got a whole new life. Because of his following of Jesus. Discipleship and the discipleship process starts with introducing people that are far from God to God. You know, discipleship is also a call to build church. It's a call to build church. Building church is not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the pastoral team's responsibility. It's not the leadership's responsibility. It's a responsibility of every single disciple to help build the kingdom of God and to build the church of God, where people come together as family. You know, the thing I love about this family is the uniqueness of it, the broadness of it. I mean, look around the room. To think that we're related is bizarre. But we are. We're related by blood. Not our blood, but the blood of Jesus that brings us all together, breaks down all the barriers. We have people in this room with personalities that would never get together with other personalities, and preferences and styles, and there's no other place in this world that would bring you together but a church. It's not important that you get along with everybody in church, or you love everybody in church in that way, or you know in a special way everybody. It's not important. It is important that you're known by some, and you find some that know you, and that you will let know you. You'll break down the walls. You'll build connection and engagement and commitment with. This sport called following Jesus and being a disciple, it's not a Lone Ranger sport. It's not an individual sport. It's a group game. It's a group game. And that's why it's so challenging in this new normal season. It's so challenging. I mean, sitting in church with such space between us seems so unnatural. For most of us, not being able to shake hands, not being able to hug someone, not being able to have an altar call where you lay hands on someone and pray for them, everything's different and bizarre to me at the moment. It's all changed. It's changed in our community. It's changed in the different activities we do as a church now. Some people are nervous about gathering in homes for connect groups, and so we're finding ways of merging what we do with live recordings on a Wednesday night and beaming that into homes. And so for those that can't make it in a group, they can still watch it in their home. We're having to do things we've never done before. We got cameras around the building. We record stuff during the week. We're thinking about all of our courses and how we can get them online so people can do next steps online and different help courses and growth courses. And it's such a complicated world right now. Not only is it complicated, it's compromised. And here's my thought as I close today. Don't allow this new normal to compromise who you are, whose you are, and what you're called to do. Paul, slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. If you were to introduce yourself today, what would you say? Could you introduce yourself with that level of confidence about who you are, whose you are, and what you're called to do? You see, for me, discipleship is it's a call to relationship. It's a call to follow God wholeheartedly. Jesus called the original disciples and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." You know, God's trying his best to make us something. And we're not fully made yet. Some of us are only half baked. We're half made. There's nothing worse than something half baked, half cooked, half prepared. It's not ready. God says, "Follow me and I will make you." God's making you something. So this journey of discipleship that I want to talk to us about, it's all about relationship, primarily relationship with God. Knowing the God of the universe that loves you and created you and made you. The God that you're going to face one day. Knowing Him and loving Him and serving Him. Knowing who He is. Secondly, it's about reaching people. Reaching people. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs God. Church is not a club. It's God's design for how we do life. Everybody needs a relationship with God. Without God, we're lost. Without God, we're literally going to hell. Literally. Without God, we're separated from all the promises and the goodness of God. So we're here to reach people. And we're here to build the church. That's what we're here to do. We're here to build church in a healthy way. So discipleship it's not an event. It's not a conference you go to. It's not a ticket you buy. It's not a seat you reserve. It's a journey you take. It's a destination you choose to pursue. It's walking with God. It's talking with God. It's eating with God. It's literally doing that. Discipleship means that I'm devoting myself to contribute my life towards following Jesus. It means I invest my life. It means I serve Him. It means I make a contribution towards that. It means I will build connection with those that are around me. It means that I will engage with people. It means I will build community with others. It means I will follow Jesus above everything else. It means that if the bold and the beautiful is on, and it's a choice between the bold and the beautiful, and getting together with somebody at Connect Group and going to Connect Group, the bold and beautiful can wait. I'll tell you what the bold and beautiful is. Paul, slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel. That's the bold. Paul, slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put your name there. Tracy. Tracy, you were on the news this week. Channel 9, I saw you with your mask on. Tracy, slave of Jesus Christ, called to be a follower, separated under the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, discipleship is an invitation, that's all it is. All I do is invite people. So I want to invite you right now. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to invite you right now to reconsider what you do. To reconsider what you do and why you do it. And to make sure you do what you do because you know who you are, whose you are, and what you're called to do. You know who you are, whose you are, and what you're called to do. Jesus has invited you to an adventurous life, to the best life, to a life devoted to following Him, a life devoted to reaching other people, a life devoted to making a difference. And it all starts with the invitation of saying yes to Him. I want you just to bow your head for a moment if you're in the room, and I want the lights up just slightly, please, if I can have the lights up in the room right now, because I want to see people. And I want to give an invitation right now for people today that you're not as close to God as you want to be. I make no judgment on where you're at. Your own heart and God works that out. But you're not as close to God as you want to be. In other words, you've not crossed the line yet of saying yes to Jesus. You know a little bit about Him. You've discovered a little bit about Him. You even like a little bit about Him. You still question a lot about Him. And you're trying to piece it together and work it out. At some point it comes to a decision to say, yes, I will follow Him. I will follow Him. See, some people do it straight away and they're just in and they follow. For others, it's a journey. Wherever it is for you, whether this is your now moment or whether this has been coming for some time, you need to make a decision. I'm going to invite you to follow Jesus today. I'm going to invite you to realize there's a God that loves you and calls you and wants to do the journey of life with you. Whether you're in the room or whether you're online today, I want you to know God loves you. God's not judging you right now. He's inviting you. He's inviting you. Inviting you into a life and a relationship and a journey. Inviting you to believe in Him. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you're not as close to God as you want to be, and you want to get closer to God right now, and you want to say yes to Jesus, I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high. If you're at home, I want to invite you in the chat column just to make a comment, to say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to own this prayer. I want you to own this prayer right now if this is you. Own your prayer to say, Jesus, I need you. I want to receive you. Forgive me of my sin. Bring me into your family. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, right across this room, right into every home we're beaming into right now, I pray for my friends and my family and for people that are far from God right now or not as close to you as they want to be. I pray, God, bring them closer to you today, right now, in Jesus' name. People's hearts that are saying yes, people's hearts that are leaning in right now to make a decision to follow you. It's not important that we have all the answers. It's important that we know the one that does. And so we put our trust and our faith and our hope and our future in you. And for people right now saying yes to you, that yes means I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am going to be fully devoted to being who you have called me to be. I am going to become a slave to the gospel of Jesus Christ and find my calling and walk that out and make a difference in my world. I pray you'd help every one of us to enter into that space, to step up the level of our relationship and our commitment and our devotion and our consecration to you, to understand that we're marked by the hand of God for the cause of Jesus Christ to make a difference. I'm called to be a disciple, a follower, a self-devoted follower of Jesus. So for everybody saying yes to you today, I pray, come into their hearts and lives and forgive them of their sin. Make them your family right now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. If you're in the room today and you made that decision to say yes to Jesus, I want you to come up and say hello and let me know that you've done that at the conclusion of the service. If you're online, just make a comment, say, I need Jesus. We'll make a contact with you, do what we can to help you on that journey. Don't forget church next week. 9 a.m. is our only in-person service. You need to register for that as soon as registrations open at 3 p.m. this afternoon. We're going to conclude our service with communion this morning. You've all got communion already. If you're at home, why don't you take the communion that you've already pre-prepared and get ready to take that right now. So right across the room, we've got these new fancy containers. Don't forget, we're going to go through this every time for a little while until you get really used to it. Very carefully take off the first layer, plastic layer. It reveals a little white thing. I don't call it a biscuit. I don't call it bread because I'm not really sure what it is. I don't know. And very carefully take the next lid off without pressing the sides of the plastic in, because you will end up with red stuff all over you. Once again, I'm not calling it juice. Now, having said all of that and made an absolute mockery of what we're eating and drinking, I in no way joke about what we do. This is Holy Communion. Everyone say Holy Communion. It's a moment that we together celebrate what Jesus has done and who Jesus is for us. And this indescribable substance today is representing the flesh of Jesus Christ to us that was given, his body. This liquid represents the precious blood of Jesus that has washed away our sins. And it doesn't matter what these components really are in terms of what they are. It's about what they represent. It's what they mean. They mean that Jesus, when he said he would lay down his life, he really meant what he said. He laid it down. And when he calls us to lay down our lives, he means it. He means it. He's literal when he says, I will lay my life down for you, and you lay your life down for me. You take up your cross and you follow me. Father, we thank you today. We are oh so grateful for the goodness of God. You've been so good to us, God. You are so good to us. And this communion moment reminds us of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And we are so thankful for a God that loves us beyond measure, for a God that has given all of his life, his total commitment towards us today. We thank you for forgiving our sins. We thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church, as you partake of the biscuit representing the broken body of Jesus. Also the juice today representing his precious blood that was given for every one of us. While you're still standing, we're going to sing this beautiful song about the favor of God and the goodness of God. And I'm going to stay on stage as we sing it today because I want to. So Mitch, why don't you lead us?